Iran's Revealing Bombings of Kurdistan, a column by Frederike Geerdink. Iran's attacks on the Kurdistan region this week were exceptionally harsh, inflicting traumas on yet another generation of Kurds. And again, like with every other Iranian attack on Kurds, the outside world is silent and the mass murder is done with impunity. On several other levels too, this week's tragedy laid bare some painful, infuriating Kurdistan truths. The scenes of the bombings this week that were shared on social media were heart-wrenching. Not just the footage, but also the sounds of parents and children sharing their panic and fear, and of people screaming about the sudden hell they found themselves in. I was especially struck by the father trying to comfort his child by yelling over all the other sounds that, look, it was just fireworks. Trying to save your child from trauma somehow, as in a reflex to protect it against the odds. So much love in such words. Also the pictures of children finding shelter at the foot of a mountain, curled up against each other, and some children hiding in caves were giving me goosebumps. That the Kurds have no friends but the mountains is not just a metaphor, it's an everyday reality. These symbolic photos will be doing the rounds for years to come. The reaction of the political parties in the Kurdistan region in Iraq were super insightful too. Especially the reaction of the PUK, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, is telling. This is the party ruling over the southern part of the Kurdistan region, with Sulaymaniyah as its most important city. It is in general considered to be somewhat more liberal than the KDP, Kurdistan Democratic Party, that reigns in the north with the capital of Erbil as its center. You would expect the PUK to allow or even support protests of the people against the mass murder of fellow Kurds by a dictatorial regime, but instead the PUK's security forces interfered with tear gas and violence. Why? Because the PUK areas are highly influenced by Iran. Not just KDP areas are under increasing control of Turkey and depending on it, the PUK can't survive without Iran's support. Iran's intelligence services have a firm presence, just as Turkey's MIT has in KDP areas. KDP hasn't reacted very fiercely either, because they are under intensifying pressure from Iran already and don't want to further escalate the situation as they see it. It's rather brutal what Iran has been responsible for in KDP areas. Attacks on the Iranian Kurdish opposition parties that were targeted now too, most importantly KDPI, with multiple casualties. Murder of a number of political activists from Rojhelat, meaning Kurdistan in Iran, in broad daylight on the streets of Erbil and elsewhere. And drone attacks on Erbil airport and other targets by militias of the Hashd al-Shaabi, the Iran-supported militias in Iraq that have ever-strengthening presence in the areas of Iraq that are disputed between the Kurdistan region and the central government in Baghdad. It's a painful reality that the government calling itself autonomous is in fact fully dependent on Iran and Turkey. In other words, Kurds murdering dictatorial states define the Kurdistan region's economic and security situation. And the Kurdish leaders let it happen and don't protect their people because they are more dedicated to protecting their own financial interests. Then the international community. Who has spoken out against this flagrant violation of international humanitarian law? I mean, besides the obligatory written messages of concern and condemnation, which government leader has made a public statement or done anything meaningful to stop Iran or show real commitment to protecting Kurdish lives? None of them. The result of which was, of course, that Iran started a new bombardment the next morning. Whatever Iran and Turkey do to the Kurds is done with impunity. That too is once again crystal clear. Iran is, of course, an actor in a complicated geopolitical power play, and all kinds of analyses can be made about the reasons Iran is bombing Kurds now and using the Kurdistan region in Iraq as the territory where it can further assert its position in the region. But while making such analyses, It's important not to lose sight of the fact that the Kurds in Iran are always the ones bearing the brunt and paying a harsher price. By attacking Kurds and claiming that the Iranian Kurdish parties in exile in the Kurdistan region in Iraq are to blame for the protests, the regime utilizes anti-Kurdish sentiments, which could drive the united protesters apart. But it's also a crystal clear example of the way the regime always punishes Kurds. They are beaten, suppressed and murdered individually, like Jina Mahsa Amini was, but also collectively. Not just for their decades-long resistance, but also just for being who they are. Kurds, meaning not Persians, and Sunnis, meaning not Shias. The current resistance can help break these decades-old lethal dynamics. If not just the regime falls, but also a new way can be found to build a society that is thriving with diversity, in which the Kurds and other minorities like Arabs and Balochis can live freely and without fear. And women, of course. Women, life, freedom, the perfect slogan in which those ideals come together. The perfect slogan to lead the way. Frederike Geerdink is an independent journalist. Follow her on Twitter, fgeerdink. And from there you can subscribe to her weekly Kurdistan newsletter.